according to Matthew chapter number 9, verses 37 and 38, which read, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The pressing need of the hour is for God's people to be involved in God's work of reaching other people. It seems as though most in Christianity today are content to sit at God's table. They enjoy the fellowship of the saints. They enjoy the preaching. They may even enjoy different activities of the church. But God's field is missing laborers. And if therefore the only prayer request that Jesus gave was for laborers. And therefore it seems as though preachers are always appealing for two things. Servants and silver. Why? Why do preachers do that? Why do people come in and say, it seems like preachers always preach on money? Because, ladies and gentlemen, people are dying and going to hell while we sit in our comfortable homes and while we drive our nice cars. And God's not against you having a nice car. God's not against you having a nice home. But what He wants us to do is put things in perspective and prioritize things. Why aren't more people tithing? Why aren't more people giving to missions? Why aren't more people passing out tracts? Why aren't more people sharing Christ? Why aren't more people surrendering and going to the mission field? It's a vision problem. It's a vision problem. Go, if you would, with me to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Verse number 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." The key to involvement, ladies and gentlemen, is our eye. It's the key to involvement. Our eye. Go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, the last verse. Paul, dealing with his afflictions in verse 17, says, "For our light affliction, which is for but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." A great verse for those of you that suffer emotionally, mentally, physically. "It worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We just saw a great, great video about eternal things. You know what I as a pastor see sometimes? Commotion. Right up here in these first two rows on Sunday morning. Brother and Sister Boston are doing their best, and some of you come over and help out with that. Sometimes we see just what they are right now, but I want to tell you something. The spiritual eye sees what they can be. I love that story. I love the fact that Dr. Zachary was in that story. A bus kid from a trailer park on the poor side of town, and has ministered in this pulpit and has ministered to my heart and yours. Eternal things. Colossians chapter 3 tells us to set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Why is it some have cloudy vision? Well, the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. There's a lot of wickedness coming in front of the eyes of God's people, and therefore we don't see things for what they are or what they can be. I think of Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Why is it we get cold? Because we allow sin a slow and steady path in our lives. And next thing you know, we just simply don't care whether people die and go to hell. Oh, I think about 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. See, sin and worldliness will cloud our vision. The key to involvement is the right look. The right look. I want to look at five things tonight quickly. Go to John chapter 3, verse 16. Point number one. Point number one. A look at the Scriptures will stir you to get involved. A look at the Scriptures will stir you to get involved. You know the verse. We all know this verse. It's one of the first verses we teach to our children. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I noticed there, and when you look at the Scriptures, you see God's perception. What is God's perception? God so loved the world. And if God so loved the world, then His children ought to so love the world. You say, but Pastor, they're unlovely. So were you before Christ came into your life. So was I. So are we still many times, and all God's people said. See God's perception. Then we see, when we look at the Scriptures, we see God's provision. What is God's provision? It says He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him. You know what God's provision of salvation is? For every man and every woman. The worst person can be saved. Brother Howard mentioned as he came in tonight that he was witnessing to some Amish people. And Amish people are some of the best, hardest working people you'll ever meet, but they need to be saved too. And that's why God gave us the ultimate provision that whosoever could be saved. When you look at the Scriptures, it'll stir you to get involved. God's perception, God's provision, God's plan. Man's plan is work, 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 die, hope you'll be saved. God's plan is believe on Him who finished the work and you will be saved. See, when you look at the Scriptures, it'll stir you to get involved. You know, it stirred God. Because God gave His only begotten Son. You see, the perception, the provision, the plan, the promise. There's two promises in this beautiful verse. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Ladies and gentlemen, may we never forget. May we never get proud. May we always remember that you and I deserve hell. That's what we deserve. That is absolutely what we deserve. But not only does it say, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God not only does not give us hell, but He gives us heaven. Hey, you know, if you'll take a look at the Scriptures, and I mean really look with an open heart, it'll stir you to get involved. Some of you, it was looking at the Scriptures where you decided to start teaching Sunday school. Maybe it was looking at the Scriptures that you decided to get involved in children's work. Maybe it was looking at the Scriptures that moved you to help reach boys and girls, men and women with the gospel. A look at the Scriptures will stir you to get involved. Number two, a look at the Savior will stir you to get involved. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Savior's condescension ought to stir us to get involved. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What is condescension? It means to stoop down. It means to reach down. And you see it in the little epistle of Philippians where it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The condescension of the Savior ought to help us to get involved. The fact that He reached down. By the way, He reached down for us. Amen. He reached down for that unruly bus kid. He reached down for that person on a foreign land who knows not God. The condescension. I think of the Savior's, not only His condescension, but I think of His commitment. You know, when Jesus was in the garden, and the sins of the world had been laid upon Him. That was your sin and my sin. The sins of the world had been laid upon Him. And He sweat great drops of blood. And He prayed. And the Bible says this. And He went a little further. Commitment. Commitment. I'd like it said of our church. And they went a little further than most churches. And they went a little further in getting the gospel to Jackson, Michigan. And they went a little further, the Savior's commitment, the Savior's condescension. We could never ignore the Savior's crucifixion. The Savior's crucifixion. Oh, you think about what He endured. What He went through to save a lost and dying world, to save whosoever will. Does that stir you to get involved? To make a difference in somebody's life? His coming ought to stir us to involvement. The Savior's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is going to come again. Just like He said. And when He does, those who we have reached will be eternally saved. And those who we have discarded and not cared about will go through the tribulation. Some saved, some lost. Oh, let's take a fresh look at the Scriptures and get involved. Let's take a fresh look at the Savior and get involved. Number three, take a look at the sinners around us. And it will stir you to get involved. Brother and Sister Boston visit on the bus route. And I have so many bus stories I could tell them from now till 9 o'clock of how seeing how those children live, not all of them, but many of them will break your heart. But God doesn't want to just break your heart to break it. He wants to break it so you'll do something about it. So as that little boy said at the end, so that you'll change his story. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." For the ungodly. For the ungodly Christ died for. "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, the sinner's condition ought to motivate us to get involved. Sinners aren't lost one day. They're lost now. They're lost now. They're eternally lost right now. John chapter 3 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned," verse 18, "but he that believeth not is condemned already." You see, they're lost now. I remember hearing somebody say, and I think you ought to be careful when you witness, certainly. I remember hearing somebody say, "You don't want to push them any further away from God. They're as far as they could be, folks. They're lost. They're lost." You not saying anything to them is not pushing them any further away from God. They're lost. Lost now. Their condition. Their condemnation. Their condemnation is a lake of fire which burneth with brimstone for all eternity. What is the cause of sinners being lost? You know what it is for some? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Many sinners are lost because nobody has ever done this. My name is John, and I'm from So-and-So Baptist Church. We'd like to invite you to our church today. Do you have a church home that you go to? More importantly than coming to church, can I ask you a question? If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? No, you're not sure? Would you allow me just a few minutes to show you how you could be sure? That's why a lot of people in Jackson are lost. That's why. You say, "Well, they're sinners from birth." I understand, sinners by choice. But many of them are lost because no one has ever come to their door. No one ever, Brother Boston, ever came to my door. I have received 3 gospel tracts in my entire life. 2 from a co-worker who had the decency to witness to me. And that's how I got saved. And 1 from a young man on the street in Medford, Massachusetts. I was coming, walking down the street about 3 blocks from his church, heading to a youth rally, and he was on the street and thought I was a businessman. And he handed me a tract and said, "We'd like to invite you to our church." I said, "I'm heading there right now, buddy." How many people have witnessed to you? How many people have knocked on your door? You know, the only people ever knock on my door, Jehovah's Witnesses. They shouldn't be out knocking people that have the truth. Amen. Take a fresh look at sinners and you'll get involved. Take a fresh look at the Savior and you'll get involved. Take a fresh look at the Scriptures and you'll get involved. Number 4. Take a fresh look at the saints. The saints. Saw a lot of them in that video. The ones who are pure. I love the verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Great verses. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." You say, "Pastor, what does that have to do with pure saints?" "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." You see, the saints. If you can have a vision for sinners, you can see them as saints one day. You can see them as saints. Not only the pure, but the pleading saints. You know, there are saints in foreign lands, just like in Paul's Macedonian vision, that are saying, come over and help us. Come over and help us! Reach us! Then, not only the pure and the pleading, but the prepared, we're going to meet several of them next week. Those that want to go to Rwanda. Those that want to go to China. Those that want to go to Brazil. Those that want to go to Liechtenstein. They just want somebody to send them. They're prepared. They're ready to go. They've given their all, forsaken all, and followed Him. The saints, the sinners, the Savior, the Scriptures. Lastly, a fresh look at the seat of Christ, the judgment seat, will help us, will stir us to get involved. You see, because folks, one day, praise God, when Jesus comes, there is going to be a reunion. There's going to be a reunion. We're going to be reunited with those that have died and gone on before us. Those precious ones, I think of you senior saints, that you've labored with people and now they're gone. You labored together in sweet fellowship trying to reach boys and girls and men and women for Jesus Christ. There's going to be a reunion one day. You know what else there's going to be at the judgment seat? There's going to be rewards or loss. There's going to be rewards or loss. And there won't be any of this, I didn't have time to reach sinners at the judgment seat of Christ. I just didn't have any time. No, we'll either receive rewards or we'll suffer loss. And then lastly, there's going to be a reckoning at the judgment seat of Christ. God is going to ask us why we deliberately disobeyed His word in reaching people for Jesus Christ. But I was afraid. Not good enough. But I was busy. Not good enough. But I was fill in the blank. Not good enough. See, ladies and gentlemen, the key to involvement is your eye. If you get a fresh vision of the Scriptures, you'll get involved in reaching people. If you get a fresh vision of the Savior, you'll get involved in reaching people. You get a fresh vision of sinners, you'll get involved in reaching people. You get a fresh vision of the saints, you'll get involved in reaching people. You get a fresh vision of the seat, the judgment seat of Christ, you'll get involved in reaching people. You say, nobody listens. Keep telling them. Keep telling them. But they've shut me down so many times. Keep trying. But I just get tired. Be not weary in well doing. For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Hey, Sunday school teacher, keep teaching. Amen. Children's worker, Listen, keep doing what you do. Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. Because as we saw, many, many bus kids go on to lead many, many other kids to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The key to involvement, mine eye, affecteth mine heart. Our Father.